Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the first day of January 2020. Happy New Year. I hope that you have set your mind to move forward in this new year, learning some things about yourself from the old year, leaving behind the things that are not beneficial, but carrying with you those things that made you better, that challenged you, that sharpened you, so that this year's your best year ever. I pray favor on you in the new year, believing God is going to reveal himself to you in brand new ways, that you will have a revelation of his love, of his compassion, and a prayer that I always hope for myself, I also pray for you, and that is that before this year ends, or when this new year is an old year, that you will have had a revelation of the Father that you had never considered before, to step into some new realm. It is so fitting that we begin Paul's resurrection passage on the first day of the year. Several things have coalesced, none of which I did on purpose, but which sort of causes me to believe that perhaps the Father is trying to teach me something going into this year. The things that have coalesced, I mean, is that here we are on day one of a new calendar year. We've arrived at Paul's resurrection passage in 1 Corinthians 15:12. We didn't have to work too hard to not get here earlier. We had other things to do in regards to holidays and what have you. And also at the same time, today's a Wednesday. This is the day that we upload our audio from a Tuesday night Bible study. This week it was from Monday night because our theater was closed on New Year's Eve and we did not have access to our space. So we met on Monday evening and then I edited it yesterday and then we post today. And the reason I bring that up is it studies in John number 70 from John 11, where beginning around verse 16, where Jesus begins his conversation about being the resurrection, the life, and living, and what that means. And we've started the work on this week's study of dealing with resurrection in light of the Lazarus story. And I think it's so fitting that that hour-long, approximately hour-long teaching is available to you today, and that we are also dealing with resurrection on the DDP today, and that we are at day one of a new year, which is in some ways a resurrection. Think of it in these terms. The old year has died. It is gone. The new year, and we do this every day with sunrise. We get this in miniature every day. When the sun goes down, we say goodbye to a day we will never get again. When the sun comes up, it shines on a day we've never had. And when you look at it in those terms, it causes you to let go of what you need to let go of and embrace what's in front of you and make this the best you can. Well, if New Year's Day sort of represents that resurrected reality, it speaks of great possibility. It speaks of life out in front of us, the possibility of new things. Paul's journey into the resurrection passage needs to be seen in light of Paul's journey into the crucifixion, 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul deals with the cross, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul deals with the resurrection. It probably shouldn't be shocking that the cross is his argument at the beginning of the book and the resurrection is his argument at the end of the book. It's stretching too far to try and figure out what was going through his head, but I think I'm allowed a guess. I'm not laying this out as doctrine, but I have a guess, and my guess is that Paul opened the book with a passage on redeeming the cross, with giving the Corinthian people an assurance that they're not nuts and crazy because they follow a guy who was crucified on wood, though dying on a tree makes you cursed of God. Paul redeems the cross from a place of embarrassment to a place of success. And then maybe, again, this is my opinion, maybe as Paul works through the various squabbles, difficulties, and problems that are in the Corinthian church, everything from blatant sin to things they haven't considered sinful, to schisms and divisions, to chaos in their worship services and their communion ceremony, Paul comes to the conclusion that if we're going to get these people to realize who they are, we can't leave them at the cross, like I opened the book with. We need to take them to an empty tomb, because men don't overcome the issues of their life if they keep dragging a cross up a hill to die. They overcome the issues of their life when they peer into an empty tomb and realize they are a resurrected man on the earth. There are psychological benefits to dragging a cross up the hill, because it tells us that there are things in life worth dragging up a hill. There are things in life we should buckle down and do. But when it comes to spiritual revelation, you don't need to drag your cross up a hill and die. You need to peer into an empty tomb and realize that if he died, you died. If he's alive, you're alive. My theory, is that as Paul writes the letter to the Corinthians and grows perhaps more frustrated with where they are, which as he writes it, he realizes is in pretty bad shape, what maybe he realizes what they need is a message on the resurrected man instead of a message on the crucified man. And of course, I think complete theology is we need both. We need to see ourselves as having died in Christ. And maybe that's why 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, we conclude that if one man died, all men died. Maybe by 2 Corinthians, he's rounding out the doctrine. Now it's no longer just about Jesus dying and Jesus resurrecting so that you can resurrect. It's you dying with Jesus so that you can live with Jesus. Verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And we said this the other day, now we're just applying text to it. Paul's argument is against those who have argued against a resurrection. Paul's not merely saying, hey, he really did raise, though that's part of his argument. Paul's saying resurrection's a real thing because Jesus did it. Now, what that resurrection means is one of the things we're going to explore. We start that exploration tomorrow. We won't finish it, of course. And then on the 3rd, that's Friday, we have a long-form Friday. I'll tell you about that tomorrow. We'll jump back into our text. I'll see you then. God bless.